fight?
For the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to do wall-to-wall coverage of the Mueller testimony today because watching it, listening to it, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to get to all of it in the next 3 hours, but we're going to do as much as possible. And it still won't do it justice, but just the fraud, the lies of omission, the double standards, the clear lies. I mean, it's just really stunning. And then from a neutral perspective to be watching this has to be something else thinking, wow, you have two parties in America and they can't agree on anything except to spend our money when they vote for a record spending bill. Thanks, President Trump. You said you'd never do that again. But regardless, it's so polarized. It's so opposite. How can you have one side of the aisle saying one thing, the other side of the aisle saying another? But this is where InfoWars comes in. We're going to give it to you straight. We're going to cut it right down the line and tell you what you need to know. So I'm going to do wall to wall. I'm just going to play the entire Mueller testimony today with real analysis that you're not going to find anywhere else. But first, because this is a huge story, I barely mentioned it yesterday, big tech is now being investigated. Investigations are being opened. Antitrust is being looked at. Here is another Project Veritas report, just a small snippet. The full video can be found on their YouTube and their website, projectveritas.com. Here is another Google insider going public saying that big tech is dangerous. They're deciding who wins elections.
My name is Greg Coppola. I'm a senior software engineer. I work on artificial intelligence and the Google Assistant. Yeah, I mean, overall, I'm very concerned to see big tech and the big media merge basically with a political party, with the Democrat Party. I have a PhD, I have 5 years of experience at Google, and I just know how algorithms are. They don't write themselves. We write them to do what we want them to do. I look at search, and I look at Google News, and I see what it's doing, and I see Google executives go to Congress and say that it's not manipulated, it's not political, and I'm just so sure that's not true. I think as the election started to ramp up, the angle that the Democrats and the media took was that anyone who liked Donald Trump was a racist, even a Nazi, and that got picked up everywhere. Well, I think we're just at a really, you know, important point in human history. I think for a while we had tech that was politically neutral. Now we have tech that really, first of all, is taking sides in a political contest, which I think, you know, anytime you have big corporate power merging with political parties can be dangerous. And I think more generally, we have to just decide now that we kind of are seeing tech use its power to manipulate people. It's a time to decide, you know, do we run the technology? Does the technology run us? I really don't buy the idea that big tech is politically neutral, and I think we need to start incorporating that into whatever strategy we use to have a democracy going forward. Are we going to continue to have elections that mean anything? Are we going to continue to think for ourselves, or are we going to just let the biggest tech companies decide who wins every election from now on?
So why did you decide to come to Project Veritas?
You guys have done a lot of good reporting on a variety of topics. I do think it's a credible news organization.
They may be able to stop one man, but they can't stop all of us. Be brave.
You know, and now something. I'm even thinking, I may have to play that full report too, because you have to remember, folks, this whole Mueller testimony that we're going to air here is all about Russian meddling in the election, right? How about Google? How about Apple? How about Twitter and Facebook? They're doing more to meddle in elections and manipulate people than Russia could even imagine. But nobody mentions that because it doesn't go with the narrative.
Yeah.
It's a Mueller time, part two. Total and absolute failure for the Democrat Party. And if America was watching this with a fair, neutral perspective, and they have the background information to know what's going on, the Democrat Party, not as much the Democrat Party, as much as the Democrat narrative, is in deep, deep trouble. Because not only was Bob Mueller a fumbling, stumbling buffoon today, the Democrats continue to push a narrative that nobody believes anymore. They've been saying they've had evidence for 3 years. They've brought nothing. And today was just more hearsay, more nonsense. And Mueller, so clearly off of his game, was so clearly partisan today. Again, anybody watching from a neutral perspective could have seen that. Doesn't answer hardly any Republicans' questions. Anytime a Democrat says something, he's right along for the ride. I mean, please. So we're going to air the entire Mueller testimony as much as we can today. It really will probably be about half of it. We've got a new Project Veritas report, a new Google engineer insider blowing the whistle on big tech, talking about how the AI is taking over, talking about how it's been politicized, how Google can manipulate people in elections. And when I see these stories out today, like the NAACP calling for Trump's impeachment, and then they go out and they do interviews and black voters say they will remember Trump's racist tweets, it just reminds me the power of media to brainwash and manipulate people. And they know, those in the media, that if you only see one side of the story and it can tug at your emotional heartstrings, you're more likely to believe that story and you're more likely to be cemented in that belief because you have been propagandized into believing that it affects you directly because of an identity that you have. And of course, it's all fake news, but they'll never know it's fake news. That's the power of media controlling what you see and thus what you think. And the Russia collusion narrative is a great example. Because if you look at just an average poll, if you go out and just ask the average American, they don't believe Russian collusion. Maybe they think Russians meddling. Okay, fine. We've been told Russia's the enemy, you know, for years in Cold War and everything. But Trump colluding with Russia, man. And here is what really stuns me before we go. We're going to just start it in the next segment and then go from there all the way to the end of the war room today. And then I think I may just air the entire new Project Veritas report. But here's what really, I already knew this, but it really hit home again today when you watch this. Think about the state of the nation when you have dozens of Democrats, if not hundreds, in Congress that are willing to go along with a narrative, with a story, with an attack that they know is a lie. These Democrats know Trump didn't collude with Russia. Bob Mueller's report had no proof of that collusion. They know that. They know that it was Hillary Clinton. If anybody looked for Russian intelligence during the election, it was Clinton's campaign. They all know that. They all know it. Schiff knows it. Nadler knows it. All the other Democrat minions know it. But you see, you have to ask yourself a question. What is the motivating factor to be a liar? What is motivating these Democrats to lie? Is it an ideological thing? Is it a hate-based thing? Or are they totally controlled? What am I talking about? Do they really ideologically think that what Trump is doing is bad for the world and bad for America? Do they really ideologically believe that so much and they're so committed that they'll lie to stop it? Do they hate Donald Trump so much? Do they hate Donald Trump supporters so much? Do they hate America so much that they're willing to lie to try to stop them from fulfilling their destiny, from having their
rights to a sovereign nation and independence and a fair election? Or are they all blackmailed and controlled in a Jeffrey Epstein-type situation where now the media is even saying it? And again, they're trying to use it to get to Trump. It's not going to work, but this will be how they play it out over the course of the next few months. Jeffrey Epstein has the big little black book with all the names, and it includes Donald Trump. They'll ignore the Clintons and all the other politicians and businessmen and progressive liberals on there. They'll ignore all of those, but they'll only pay attention to Trump. So is it a situation like that where you've got a bunch of blackmail on these Democrats? I mean, you look at an Adam Schiff, you look at a Maxine Waters. I mean, you know about all of her financial stuff. She's already been censured, I believe, still for what she's done. I mean, so it's all sitting out there. But what is the real motivating factor for these Democrats to be known liars, to get there on the national stage and to lie to your face? Because that's what they did all day today. But it's not just lying to your face. The double standards, the hypocrisy, and just the total political bias and agenda is also totally exposed today by the Mueller report. And man, if you ever thought Mueller was neutral, today changed your mind. And Mueller does not look like he's in a good place. And when you remember that his buddy, Jeff Epstein, is sitting in a jail cell for the sweetheart deal that Mueller helped cut him, now you start to realize what's going on. And man, you know, it's so hard because we just spent a record spending bill with more deficit than we've ever seen. Trump promised us he would never do that. He's obviously not a fiscal conservative. We're getting hosed. We still don't have a wall. Immigration, illegal immigration is worse than ever. We're just getting crushed. And so it's like, you know, I could sit up here and I could be really upset about that. And I am. But if I don't weigh in the factor of Epstein being in jail, all these pedophile rings being shut down, and Mueller totally collapsing today with the Russian collusion narrative, and what comes of all that in the future, well, it just wouldn't be fair. I don't know what the fate of Jeffrey Epstein means for the fate of this nation, but if Jeffrey Epstein really goes down and that quote-unquote little black book really goes public, it's game over. The whole house of cards fails. All these Democrat winebags pointing the finger at Trump are going to look like absolute fools for ignoring the actions of the Clintons all these years that they knew was going on. So we're going to break it all down when we come back from this break. I've got a big announcement on a special coming today. I'm not going to do it right now. I'm going to do like a weird, deep tease of a special. I kind of teased this yesterday, but I'm really excited about this special. We're going to announce it at InfoWarsStore.com. But we've still got the specials going. 50% off DNA Force Plus. 50% off Super Male Vitality. 50% off InfoWars Life Select Storable Food. And by the way, you've seen storable food. Most of it is just good for some substance and to sustain you over time. This is like top prepped elite meals, like the best storable food you can find, the best tasting, the most hearty, very wide ranging of ingredients and different meal preps. So this is the best storable food. It's on sale for 50% off right now. So if you're looking to invest in storable food and you don't just want something that is good, that's going to make sure you're fed, but you want something that you're going to enjoy and you're going to like and taste good and is like a full meal in emergency food preparation situations, the InfoWars Life Select Storable Food, 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Take advantage.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. We are now going to air as much of the Mueller testimony as we can right now. And I'm going to be giving you analysis here on top of it, just so you can see the hypocrisies and the lies that the Democrats are engaged in and the double standards. So let's go ahead and begin with Bob Mueller making a final closing statement and his opening statement, and then the creepo Jerry Nadler taking over as the clown show begins.
In my career, I have seen a number of challenges to our democracy. The Russian government's effort to interfere in our election is among the most serious. And as I said on May 29th, this deserves
no
the
votes
attention
were changed via his own report.
American.
Thank and you, we Mr. have Chairman. Big tech in this country destroying the integrity of our elections. Bob Mueller says nothing on that.
We will now proceed under the 5-minute rule with questions.
So we literally have Google caught engaging in election manipulation.
Director Mueller?
Manipulating millions of votes via the people. Russia manipulating no votes. And then we have a 5-hour-long hearing on that. Just keep it rolling, guys, because this is going to be a long thing. So if I start talking, just pull it down. But just unless I say stop it, don't, because this is too long to stop.
Now, reading from page 2 of volume 2 of your report that's on the screen, you wrote, quote, "If we had confidence after a thorough investigation of the facts that the president clearly did not commit obstruction of justice, we would so state. Based on the facts and the applicable legal standards, however, we are unable to reach that judgment," close quote.
Now, you see, here is another lie of omission that they're not telling you.
No.
They told President Trump, you are not the target of an investigation. We are just looking into Russian interference. So why is it now that Nadler here, in control of this committee, is saying, you were looking at the evidence to see if Trump did X and Y, and you couldn't exonerate him from that? They didn't find any evidence that he did anything, but you see, it's all about applying guilt to Trump, not innocent till proven guilty. It's Trump's guilty. We can't prove him innocent, so he's guilty.
After taking into account the OLC opinion that indicated that a president, a sitting president, cannot be indicted.
So the report did not conclude that he did not commit obstruction of justice. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And what about total exoneration? Did you actually totally exonerate?
Now, again,
the
how
president?
Is it that no. they can't conclude that?
Now, in fact,
they do the investigation. They talk to hundreds of witnesses. They had thousands of hours of testimony. Where's the obstruction of justice? There is no obstruction of justice. But they don't want to say that. Again, it's Trump guilty till proven innocent. We don't want to prove him innocent. We were just out to prove him guilty.
Obstruction investigations. Is that correct?
Correct.
Now, Director Mueller, can you explain in plain terms what that finding means so the American people can understand it?
Well, the finding indicates that the president was not, that the president was not exculpated for the acts that he allegedly committed.
This guy is so scared of President
in
Trump
fact,
right now because he knows he's an open, wanton criminal.
In which the president
That's
sought to
fumbling
use his
and stumbling around
outside of usual channels, unquote, to exert undue influence over your investigations. Is that right?
That's correct.
Now, am
what
I
do you
correct
mean? That Mueller did not want to do this testimony. He is a cooked quote, goose, and he knows it. The Democrats put him up to this.
Conduct was being investigated in an obstruction of justice inquiry. At that point, the president engaged in a second phase of conduct involving public attacks on the investigation, non-public efforts to control it, and efforts in both public and private to encourage witnesses not to cooperate with the investigation, close quote. So President Trump's efforts to exert undue influence over your investigation intensified after the president became aware that he personally was being investigated?
I stick with the language that you have in front of you.
Which they lied about.
Which okay. comes from page 7, volume 2.
Now, is it correct that if you concluded that the president committed the crime of obstruction, you could not publicly state that in your report or here today?
Can you repeat the question, sir?
Is it correct that if you had concluded that the president committed the crime of obstruction, you could not publicly state that in your report or here today?
Well, I would say I could. The statement would be that you would not indict, and you would not indict because under the OLC
opinion. So here's the answer. The answer is yes. We didn't want to do that because we wanted you to think Trump is guilty.
So you could not.
And Mueller knows that that's the truth. That's why he just fumbled and bumbled around and said, "Oh, we can't indict a president."
With some guide, yes.
But under DOJ, under Department of Justice policy, the president could be prosecuted for obstruction of justice crimes after he leaves office, is correct?
True.
Thank you. Did any senior White House official refuse a request to be interviewed by you and your team?
I don't believe so.
The president?
Well, let me take that back. I would have to look at it, but I'm not certain that that was the case.
Did the president refuse a request to be interviewed by you and your team?
Yes.
Yes. And is it true that you tried for more than a year to secure an interview with the president?
Yes.
And is it true that you and your team advised
the
president's lawyer?
He said he wasn't
the
target. He was.
An interview with the president.
So it's like, oh, you're not the target. You're not the target. By the way, we need to interview you. You're the target. It's like, what? You said I wasn't the target.
Quote, stated that it is in the interest of the presidency and the public for an interview to take place, close quote.
Yes.
But the president still refused to sit for an interview by you or your team?
True. True.
And did you also ask
Mueller
him to provide
true colors
answers
here.
To questions
out to
on
get
the 10
Trump.
Possible episodes of obstruction of justice crimes involving him?
Yes.
Did he provide any answers to a single question about whether he engaged in obstruction of justice crimes?
I would have to check on that.
Now think about this. Again, they told Trump he wasn't the target. They told the American public Trump wasn't the target. They were investigating Russian collusion. Now they're sitting here, and what are they talking about? Trump, 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 obstruction of justice, obstruction of justice, obstruction of justice. How is Trump obstructing justice if you're looking at Russian meddling in the election and Trump has nothing to do with it, which they made no connections? So you see, the whole thing is just a big three-card Monty hat game.
We're moving. I know, understand, and just reiterating the five-minute rule. Mr. Mueller, I have several questions, many of which that you just answered will be questioned here in a moment, but I want to lay some foundation, so we'll I'll talk slowly. I'm said that I talk fast. I will talk slowly.
Thank you, sir.
In your press conference, you stated any testimony from your office would not go beyond our report. We chose these words carefully. The work speaks for itself. I would not provide information beyond that which is already public in any appearance.
Unless the
Congress.
Democrats are asking. So you'll find that out real quick. He'll expand for the Democrats, but the Republicans, he gets nothing. All right, we're going to come back, and we're just going to keep breaking this down and responding in real time. Because you're just not going to get this anywhere else, folks. And I just think it's sad because, I mean, I don't know how to explain it. It's just, I know everything they're talking about. I've been following this story since it began. I can't believe the lies that they're getting away with. And so I don't want them to get away with it. That's why they ban us on YouTube.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
This broadcast contains subject matter that might trigger liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, let's go back to the Bob Mueller fake testimony. He's fumbling, stumbling, muttering, stuttering around. He didn't want to do this. He knows his goose is cooked. But the Democrats forced him to do it so that they could continue with this Russian collusion hoax. Let's go back to the Mueller testimony.
True. The evidence gathered during your investigation, given the questions that you have just answered, is it true the evidence gathered during your investigation did not establish that the president was involved in the underlying crime related to Russian election interference as stated in Volume 1, page 7?
We found insufficient evidence of the president's culpability.
So that would be a yes. That would be a yes.
Yes.
That's, thank you. Isn't it true the evidence did not establish that the president or those close to him were involved in the charged Russian computer hacking or active measure conspiracies or that the president otherwise had unlawful relationships with any Russian official? Volume 2, page 76. Correct?
I leave the answer to our report.
So as a yes. Is that any true? Your investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with Russian government in the election interference activity. Volume 1, page 2. Volume 1, page 173.
Thank you. Yes.
Yes, thank you. Although your report states collusion is not so specific offense, and you said that this morning, or a term of art in federal criminal law, conspiracy is. In the colloquial context, are collusion and conspiracy essentially synonymous terms?
You're going to have to repeat that for me.
Collusion is not a specific offense or a term of art in the federal criminal law. Conspiracy is.
Yes.
In the colloquial context, known public context, collusion and conspiracy are essentially synonymous terms, correct?
No.
If no, on page 180 of volume 1 of your report, you wrote, as defined in legal dictionaries, collusion is largely synonymous with conspiracy, as that crime is set forth in the General Federal Conspiracy Statute 18 U.S.C. 371. Okay. You said at your May 29th press conference and here today, you choose your words carefully. Are you sitting here today testifying something different than what your report states?
Well, what I'm asking is if you can give me the citation, I can look at the citation and evaluate whether it is accurate.
Okay, let me just be clarified. You stated that you would stay within the report. I just stated your report back to you. And you said that collusion and conspiracy were not synonymous terms. That was your answer, was no.
That's correct.
In that, page 180 of volume 1 of your report, it says, as defined in legal dictionaries, collusion is largely synonymous with conspiracy, as that crime is set forth in General Conspiracy Statute 18 U.S.C. 371. Now, you said you chose your words carefully. Are you contradicting your report right now?
Not when I read it.
So you would change your answer to yes, then?
No. If you look at the language.
I'm reading your report, sir. It's a yes or no answer.
Page 180.
Page 180, volume 1. Okay. This was from your report.
Correct. And
did Mueller even read his report?
Leave it with the report.
So the report says, yes, they are synonymous. Yes. Hopefully, finally, out of your own report, we can put to bed the collusion and conspiracy. One last question as we're going through. Did you ever look into other countries investigated in the Russian interference into our election? Were other countries investigated or found knowledge that they had interference in our election?
I'm not going to discuss other matters.
See, this is so key. Because Mueller admits he found no collusion, and then they had to admit they didn't investigate any other countries. So why was it Russia?
I'm going to talk about obstruction of justice today, but the investigation of Russia's attack that started your investigation is why evidence of possible obstruction is serious.
I love this argument. When did the quote-unquote Russian attack happen? Under Obama's watch. Obama stood down. That's literally on record. The Department of Justice went to Obama and said, hey, we have an intelligence. Russia is trying to meddle. And he said, don't care. No big deal. They can't do anything. So if anyone during the Russian attack on our election was guilty of maybe not collusion, but standing down, that was Obama. But the Democrats always omit that fact, don't they?
2016.
Let me tell you, Representative Zoe Lofgren is one of the worst.
Fashion. You also described in your report that the then Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort shared with a Russian operative, Kalimnik, the campaign strategy for winning Democratic votes in Midwestern states in internal polling data of the campaign. Isn't that correct?
Correct.
They document these communications between Americans and Russians, but they only look at the people they want to. They never bring up Fusion GPS. They never bring up Hillary Clinton's people. They never bring up Perkins Coie. It doesn't even matter. You can talk to anybody about elections. And this is the other thing that's really key about this, too. And the overall thing, they're saying, we decide who gets to engage in communication. If Hillary Clinton's people and the Democrats want to talk to Russians, if Obama wants to talk to Putin off record, if Obama wants to let the Russians hack the elections, that's fine. Trump's not allowed to do it. Trump's not allowed to look at foreign intelligence. Trump's not allowed to read the WikiLeaks. Trump's not allowed to have opposition research. Only the Democrats can do that. Like, for example, later they're like, it's true, Trump really liked reading the WikiLeaks. You don't think everybody was reading the WikiLeaks? Everybody was talking about the WikiLeaks. But see, that's the president. No, we decide. We're the establishment. We're the progressive liberal Democrats. We decide who gets the right to free speech. We decide who gets the right to information. So if anybody else wants to talk about the WikiLeaks, if anybody else wants to collude with Russia, if anybody else just wants to have any political commentary at all, that's fine. But if you're Donald Trump,
You don't get anything. You can't read the WikiLeaks. You can't even think about a Russian.
Would benefit from one of the candidates winning?
Yes.
And which candidate would that be?
Well, it would be Trump.
Correct.
Yeah, that's just a big fat lie. The Russian and the U.S. relations, I wish, got better under Trump, but it hasn't really been that way, thanks to the Democrats. So again, what does that even mean? What Russian collusion? How has Russia benefited from the president, the election of Donald Trump? It hasn't. And Mueller knows it. And he's up there lying. He's up there perjuring himself right now. That's why he's fumbling and stuttering and wondering, should I answer this question or not? I'm about to perjure myself. You just perjured yourself.
With the Russian government.
Well, I would have to refer you to the report on that.
Well, we went through and we counted 126 contacts between Russians or their agents and Trump campaign officials or their associates. So would that sound about right?
I didn't look into it on the other side.
I understand this statistic. And
only Trump, because they were out to get Trump. That's all this whole thing was.
The statistic.
Well, Mr. Mueller, I appreciate your being here and your report.
They all know it. They are all frauds, every single last one of them.
I think the American people have learned several things. First, the Russians wanted Trump to win.
No proof of that.
Second,
literally none.
The Russians went on.
Putin says if Hillary wins, it'll be World War III. If Trump wins, it'll be peace on Earth. Ha! I guess that's what the Democrats hate, isn't it? They wanted that world war with Russia. They wanted to see more Americans die in World War III. That's really what this is about.
Internal data, polling, and messaging in the battleground states. So while the Russians were buying ads and creating propaganda
for Hillary
to influence
Clinton,
the outcome of the election,
literally in the report,
they were armed with inside information that they had stolen through hacking from the DNC and that they
had been given.
By the Trump campaign.
That is totally lie. That is such a fictional. Again,
my colleagues,
they haven't even investigated that. They have not even investigated that. If there's any obstruction of justice, it's the Democrat Party, it's the DCCC refusing to turn the servers over.
Your report.
It's that lizard-looking creature from Florida, what's her name, Schultz. She refused to turn the she threatened Washington, D.C. police. There's your obstruction of justice. Again, that doesn't count. Trump is bad. Trump is the target. He doesn't get free speech. He doesn't get anything. The Democrats can break all of these laws, and they don't say a damn thing.
That members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. And then in volume two, for reasons that you explained, the special counsel did not make a determination on whether there was an obstruction of justice crime committed by the president. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right, now in explaining the special counsel...
You know, I just hope that the president of the United States, who was commenting on Twitter during this whole thing, I just hope that he is genuinely as frustrated as some of his Republican colleagues and the American people more than anything, because, quite frankly, this is such tradition, it's criminal.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
It's days like this where you really have to check your footing and see if you're standing on solid ground, because seeing the polarization between the two parties right now during this Mueller testimony is pretty astounding. But here's where I stand. My footing is solid. I know what's going on. I've done my research, and I could sit here and say, man, am I crazy for believing the exact opposite of what these people are telling me? Well, let's go out and find out. And then I can go talk to the average person that supports these Democrats and supports their narratives, and they don't have a freaking clue. Because there is nothing there. It's a big, fat nothing burger. They've always been eating a nothing burger. We've been chewing on the real red meat here, and we're sick of seeing these lies that the Democrats have gotten away with. But man, when I say that Barack Obama is guilty of treason, I can tell you exactly how and why. When I tell you that the Democrats are guilty of sedition, I can explain exactly why. It's even U.S. code. They're all guilty of treason. This whole open border thing, it's all treason, folks. It's in the U.S. code. I didn't write the code. I just read it. But let's go back to these treasonous, seditious Democrats right now continuing to put this lie, this false narrative of Russian collusion and Trump Russia on the American people during the Mueller testimony.
The evidence we obtained about the president's actions and intent presents difficult issues that prevent us from conclusively determining that no criminal conduct occurred. Accordingly, while this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, it also does not exonerate him. Now, I read that correctly?
Yes. Now, that is unprecedented, which will come up later.
And today, you said at all times the special counsel team operated under, was guided by, and followed Justice Department policies and principles. So, which DOJ policy or principle sets forth a legal standard that an investigated person is not exonerated if their innocence from criminal conduct is not conclusively determined?
Can you repeat the last part of that question?
Yeah.
He got it.
Which DOJ policy or principle set forth a legal standard that an investigated person is not exonerated if their innocence from criminal conduct is not conclusively determined? Where does that language come from, Director? Where is the DOJ policy that says that? Let me make it easier.
He's stunned. He's out on his feet.
Go ahead.
He needs a lawyer.
Can you give me an example other than Donald Trump where the Justice Department determined that an investigated person was not exonerated because their innocence was not conclusively determined?
Knockout.
I cannot, but this is a unique situation.
Okay, well, you can't. Time is short. I've got
this is unique. You just committed treason.
You can't find it because I'll tell you why. It doesn't exist. The special counsel's job, nowhere does it say that you were to conclusively determine Donald Trump's innocence or that the special counsel report should determine whether or not to exonerate him. It's not in any of the documents. It's not in your appointment order. It's not in the special counsel regulations. It's not in the OLC opinions. It's not in the justice manual. And it's not in the principles of federal prosecution. Nowhere do those words appear together because respectfully, Director, it was not the special counsel's job to conclusively determine Donald Trump's innocence or to exonerate him. Because the bedrock principle of our justice system is a presumption of innocence.
Traitor.
It exists for everyone. Everyone is entitled to it, including sitting presidents. And because there is a presumption of innocence, prosecutors never,
let's be perfectly clear here, though,
need to conclusively determine.
Let's not forget what we're dealing with here, folks.
Special counsel.
We are talking about a decades-long corruption of our government. We are talking about deep state globalist forces believing that they have a right to rule over Americans, that they have a right to control our destiny. We took that back when we elected Donald Trump. Now they went into panic mode to try to get back control of this nation. That's why you see the Peter Stroke, Lisa Page, Andy McCabe texts and meetings all about getting rid of the president emergency plan. That's why Bob Mueller was put in charge of this fake investigation. That's why they're making up Russian collusion. That's why they've made up Trump as racist. That's why they've said Trump supporters are racist. That's why they have the fake polls. All of it. That's all of it. And they lost. They lost. America beat them. And now here they are like Tokyo Rose, propping up Bob Mueller and his fake investigation, saying, oh, see, we told you Trump was the bad guy the whole time. Nobody's listening. Nobody believes it. It's all fake. It's all lies. And Representative John Ratcliffe just caught Bob Mueller out on his feet saying, you claimed you are going by DOJ standards with this investigation. Where's the standard that says you don't exonerate someone if you can't find their crime? There is no standard, because the whole thing is to destroy President Trump. I'm sick and damn tired of it. And you know what? They'll say, oh, you know, you can't throw the word treason around like that. You know what? Why not? I'm called a damn Nazi racist KKK member every day with no proof. It's absolutely out of control. I'm not any of those things. That is a damn traitor right there. Bob Mueller is a damn traitor. Go back.
To know this, as they listen to the Democrats and socialists on the other side of the aisle, as they do dramatic readings from
It's all an attack on America.
Volume two of this report.
It's all an affront to your independence, your sovereignty, your right to determine your future.
It was written to a legal standard that does not exist at the Justice Department, and it was written in violation of every DOJ principle about extra prosecutorial commentary. I agree with the chairman this morning when he said Donald Trump is not above the law. He's not. But he damn sure shouldn't be below the law, which is where volume two of this report puts him.
Meanwhile, the only Russian collusion is Hillary Clinton, who is above the law. She's broke so many laws, you had to write a book on it.
Director Mueller, good morning. Your exchange with the gentlelady from California demonstrates what is at stake. The Trump campaign chair, Paul Manafort, was passing sensitive voter information and polling data to a Russian operative. And there were so many other ways that Russia subverted our democracy.
No, there isn't.
Volume one, I cannot think of a more serious need to investigate. So now I'm going to ask you some questions about obstruction of justice as it relates to Volume 2. On page 12 of Volume 2, you state, we determined that there were a sufficient factual and legal basis to further investigate potential obstruction of justice issues involving the president. Is that correct?
What does that even mean? What does that even mean?
Do you have the citations, ma'am?
Page 12, Volume 2.
Involving the president. What does that even mean? He wasn't being investigated. Even Mueller's like, what the hell are you talking about, dingbat?
On a legal basis to further investigate potential obstruction of justice issues involving the president. Is that
there was no obstruction of justice.
Your report also describes at least 10 separate instances of possible obstruction of justice that were investigated by you and your team.
You're possibly a Martian.
In fact, the table of contents serves as a very good guide of some of the acts of that obstruction of justice that you investigated.
And again, and I let's put all it up go on back, the screen. Because I'll tell you, Sheila Jackson Lee is just unbelievable. What, again, what is all of this about? They claim Russia meddled in the election. How? Hacking Democrat email servers and releasing those to the public, which, okay, let's say that that's true where they have no evidence because they couldn't investigate because who obstructed justice? The Democrats wouldn't let them investigate. But even if that's true, think about this. So the American public aren't allowed to see what's happening behind the scenes? Look at what's going on in Puerto Rico, where the governor's text messages get leaked, and now the entire nation of Puerto Rico is protesting today. So yeah, we found out Hillary Clinton is a dirtbag criminal that hates America, and we didn't want to vote for her. And somehow Trump's a criminal now because of that? And you didn't even investigate where the emails came from? And the only obstruction of justice would be the Democrats refusing to turn over those servers. But you don't get any investigation into that, man. See, this is, let me tell you something. If Trump doesn't fix this, I mean, this is just, this is unbelievable. This is just so unbelievable. It's so frustrating. And if Trump just lets them get away with this, man, honestly, it's such a cuck move. All right, go back.
An obstructive act, a nexus between the act and an official proceeding, and corrupt intent. Is that correct?
Yes.
You wrote on page 178, volume 2, in your report about corrupt intent. Actions by the president to end a criminal investigation into his own conduct to protect against personal embarrassment or legal liability would constitute a core example of corruptly motivated conduct.
He never shut it down.
Yes.
To the screen again, even with the evidence you did find, is it true, as you note on page 76 of volume 2, that the evidence does indicate that a thorough FBI investigation would uncover facts about the campaign and the president personally that the president could have understood to be crimes or that would give rise to legal, personal, and political concern?
As if they didn't do the investigation.
I rely on the language of the report.
Is that relevant to potential obstruction of justice? Is that relevant to potential obstruction of justice?
Yes.
You further elaborate on page 157, obstruction of justice can be motivated by a desire to protect non-criminal personal interests, to protect against investigations where underlying criminal liability falls into a gray area, or to avoid personal embarrassment. Is that correct?
Yes.
I have on the screen.
Is that correct on the screen?
Can you repeat the question? And now that I have the language on the screen.
See, is it correct?
Bob Mueller's in big trouble, folks, because here's the deal. Mueller never wanted to do this, and he probably didn't even want any part of this investigation. But he's just as much in the lap, probably blackmailed by the globalists as anyone else, so he had to. And now he's basically just up there as fodder, cannon fodder for the Democrats, and he knows they're digging him a hole. They're digging his political grave, and he doesn't know what to do.
Infowars.com/show. The fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Troyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, let's go back to the Mueller testimony, the Democrat dumpster fire, and the Bob Mueller fumbling, bumbling, stuttering, muttering around in his responses.
In jail.
Yes. Well, again, can you repeat the question just to make certain that I have it accurate?
Does obstruction of justice warrant a lot of time in jail if you were convicted?
Yes.
And is
The time of the gentlelady has expired.
There was no obstruction of justice.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Let me begin by reading the special counsel regulations by which you were appointed. It reads, quote, at the conclusion of the special counsel's work, he or she shall provide the attorney general with a confidential report explaining the prosecution or declination's decisions reached by the special counsel. That correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, when a regulation uses the word shall provide, does it mean that the individual is in fact obligated to provide what's being demanded by the regulation or statute, meaning you don't have any wiggle room, right?
I'd have to look more closely at the statute.
I just read it to you. Okay. Now, volume 2, page 1. Your report boldly states we determined not to make a traditional prosecutorial judgment. Is that correct?
I'm trying to find that citation, Congressman.
He can't remember. He can't remember his own report. He can't remember what he allegedly wrote himself.
Director, could you speak more directly into the microphone, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
He needs to talk to his lawyer.
It's volume 2, page...
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry.
It's volume 2, page 1. It said, we determined not to make a traditional prosecutorial judgment.
Yes.
That's right in the beginning. Now, since you decided under the OLC opinion that you couldn't prosecute a sitting president, meaning President Trump, why did we have all of this investigation of President Trump that the other side is talking about when you knew that you weren't going to prosecute him?
To destroy Trump in this country.
You don't know where the investigation is going to lie. And the OLC opinion itself says that you can continue the investigation even though you are not going to indict the president.
Okay, well, if you're not going to indict the president, then you just continue fishing. And that's my observation. You know, my time is limited. Sure, you can indict other people, but you can't indict the sitting president, right?
That's true.
Okay. Now, there are 182 pages in raw evidentiary material, including hundreds of references to 302, which are interviews by the FBI, for individuals who've never been cross-examined and which did not comply with the special counsel's governing regulation to explain the prosecution or declination decisions reached, correct?
And where are you reading from on that?
I'm reading from my question.
Then could you repeat it?
Okay. You have 182 pages of raw evidentiary material with hundreds of references to 302s who were never been cross-examined and which didn't comply with the governing regulation to explain the prosecution or declination decisions reached.
This is one of those areas which I decline to discuss.
I
would direct you to the report itself.
Okay. I looked at 182 pages of it. Well, let me switch gears. Mr. Chabot and I were on this committee during the Clinton impeachment. Now, while I recognize that the independent counsel statute under which Kenneth Starr operated is different from the special counsel statute, he, in a number of occasions in his report, stated that the President Clinton's actions may have risen to impeachable conduct, recognizing that it is up to the House of Representatives to determine what conduct is impeachable. You never used the term raising to impeachable conduct for any of the 10 instances that the gentlewoman from Texas.
When we come back, we'll continue with the coverage, the recap, and the analysis of the Mueller report. It's just such a travesty. It's such a travesty, these liars and these frauds, what they've done to this country and to people's minds. Trump is responding. I don't want to play by their games. I'm going to make my own rules because I'm a rogue like that. President Trump is responding to the Mueller sedition today, the Democrat Mueller collusion sedition today. And we may have those clips for you. He's answering questions on the White House lawn. We're going to continue with our analysis. But let me make a big announcement. I'm really excited for this. You know, we have a lot of great products at InfoWarsStore.com. The supplements are amazing. I take the supplements. I have the air filters. I have the water filters, the storable food. I've got everything that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com because most of it is just household items like toothbrushes and toothpaste and emergency food supplies, air filters, water filters. And then, you know, the protein bars, all the great supplements. So I'm a user of a lot of the products we have at InfoWarsStore.com. And so whenever there's a product I'm excited about that I'm using, I try to create a special or a sale or some way I can talk about that on the show because it's something I'm using, it's something I'm excited about. So I told you yesterday that, or maybe it was Monday, I can't remember, how I had gotten my new ProPure showerhead water filter. Because, you know, the water that you shower in has the same toxins than the water you drink in. It's all coming from the same source. And, you know, your skin is an organ that absorbs. If you're taking hot showers, you're breathing in those, you know, when it gets all foggy and steamy in there, you're now breathing it in and still got those toxins in there. So, you know, maybe this is like low risk, but hey, why not get rid of those toxins? Why not go totally pure? And so I had an old system, an older system of a filtered water head, which was nice, but the problem with filtered water heads, shower heads, is that they just don't have the water pressure. So I had ordered this, the ProPure Chrome Plus shower filter head, a while ago, and I just got to installing it over the weekend. And man, I am so thrilled. And so I came into the office and I said, look, we got to do a special. Can I do a special on these shower heads? I just installed mine and I just love it. I'm crazy about it. And so they said, well, we've got this special running till the end of July. We'll just start a new one in August. And I said, no, I'm excited about this now. I want to roll this out now. So we went ahead and did it. This is going to be the special, probably rolling all the way through August. For coupon code War Room. Now, I suggest you get this shower head. Now, this is the best. This is the Lamborghini. This is the Aston Martin. This is the Rolls Royce. This is the top of the line right here when it comes to water filtered shower heads, the ProPure Chrome Plus shower filter head. Now, to get a shower head like this that has this water pressure and five different functions, you're going to pay $100 minimum at whatever department store you go to. Now, the price that we have is $95, and so that's the best water, that's the best water pressure, that's the best shower head, plus the filtration system. Well, now with coupon code War Room, you can get 15% off, 15% off, not just this shower head, which I suggest you get this one. It's got the five adjustable settings, and it's got the hose function, so you can take the shower head off and, you know, maneuver it around or whatever. I suggest you get this, but all ProPure shower heads, every single one, we've got multiples at InfoWarsStore.com. All ProPure shower head filters are on sale for 15% off. I'm really excited about this. I'm telling you, cut all the fluoride, cut all the glyphosates, cut all of that garbage out of your life that's in the water. You may think, ah, it's minimal taking a shower. Well, hell, it's still something. Cut it out. So now's the time. Take advantage. 15% off all ProPure shower filters at InfoWarsStore.com, and you have my guarantee the water pressure's great. The five different functions are great. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. If you're worried about water pressure, you will not be let down. I guarantee you, this is the best shower head I've ever had. 15% off all shower filters at InfoWarsStore.com. I'm really excited. Just use coupon code WARROOM at checkout. So yes, Trump has responded to the Mueller testimony today. We're going to roll that eventually, but let's go back to the circus that was the Mueller Democrat Sedition Expedition.
My time is up.
Gentleman's time has expired. The gentleman from Tennessee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I'd just like to restate that Mr. Nadler said about your career. It's a model of rectitude.
You're the best. We love you.
Based upon your investigation, how did President Trump react to your appointment as special counsel?
Again, I send you the report for where that is stated.
Well, there is a quote from page 78 of your report, volume 2, which reads, when Sessions told the president that a special counsel had been appointed, the president slumped back in his chair and said, quote, oh, my God, this is terrible. This is the end of my presidency. I'm effed, unquote. Did Attorney General Sessions tell you about that little talk?
I'm not.
Director, please speak into the microphone.
Oh, surely. My apologies. I am not certain of the person who originally copied that quote.
Okay, well, and Sessions no apparently said it, and one of his aides had it in his notes, too, which I think you had, but that's become record. He wasn't pleased. He probably wasn't pleased with the special counsel, and particularly you, because of your outstanding reputation. Prior to your appointment, the Attorney General recused himself from the investigation.
See, there's
because
this whole
of his
con game the Democrats are playing like Bob Mueller is some hero. Let me tell you something. All these anti-establishment leftists that hate government, think it's corrupt, Mueller's the guy. But they're so thin-minded, as soon as they're told, no, this is the good guy, they just fall for it. Any other time and place, Mueller would have been the enemy. Oh, but now because he's out to get Trump, who they're told is their enemy, he's the hero. So the Democrats always build him up. One of them says, you're the greatest patriot in this room. Yeah, right. This guy is guilty of sedition at the very least, treason at the most.
Sessions' decision to follow those ethics rules to recuse himself from oversight of that investigation. Is that not correct?
That's accurate based on what is written in the report.
And the president's reaction to the recusal, as noted in the report, Mr. Bannon recalled that the president was mad as Bannon had ever seen him, and he screamed at McGahn about how weak Sessions was. Do you recall that from the report?
That's in the report.
Yeah, he's like, how are we going to let these criminals engage in open sedition against this country?
He's not supposed to.
He's the damn president. You're right. He's pissed off that he's got a bunch of criminals trying to tear the country apart.
After you were appointed special counsel.
Yeah, look at me. Am I upset right now? Yeah, you're freaking gaslighting me. I'm a little pissed off.
Quote, the president called Sessions at his home and asked if he would unrecuse himself. Is that not true?
It's true.
Now, that wasn't the first time the president asked Sessions to unrecuse himself, was it?
I know there were at least two occasions.
And one of them was with Flynn, and one of them was when Sessions and McGahn flew to Mar-a-Lago to meet with the president.
Yeah, President Trump thought he hired somebody with a spine to do his job.
He should do this.
Found out Sessions wasn't the guy.
Correct?
Correct.
And then when Michael Flynn, a few days after Flynn, entered a guilty plea for lying to federal agents and indicated
his intent
to cooperate with that investigation, Trump asked to speak to Sessions alone again in the Oval Office and again asked Sessions to unrecuse himself. True?
I refer you to the report for that.
Page 109, volume 2. Thank you, sir. Do you know of any point when the president personally expressed anger or frustrations at Sessions?
I'd have to pass on that.
Do you recall, and I think it's at page 78 of volume 2, the president told Sessions, you were supposed to protect me. You were supposed to protect me, or words to that effect.
Correct.
And is the attorney general supposed to be the attorney general of the United States of America or the consigliere for the president?
United States of America.
Thank you, sir.
And obviously wasn't to the president because he didn't do anything for the president. That's why the president was ticked off. And you guys are the ones destroying America. You know this whole thing is a farce. Why are you doing it? It's just... Seriously, man, I just hope the president does something about this.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't.
All right, let's go right back to this Mueller testimony. It's really hard to watch because you're watching Democrats engage in open sedition using a known hoax to try to destroy one man and an entire country of people who have a right to decide their leader. That's what this is about. They want to control your mind. They want to use media against you. It's sad to watch, but we have to endure it. We have to respond with facts in our analysis. So let's go back to the traitor, Bob Mueller, and the Democrat Party, guilty of sedition.
On the report.
And, how could Sessions have restricted the scope of your investigation?
Well, I'm not going to speculate. If he, quite obviously, if he took over or was Attorney General, he would have greater latitude in his actions that would enable him to do things that otherwise he could not.
On page 113, you said the president believed that an unrecused Attorney General play a protective role and could shield the president from the ongoing investigation. Regardless of all that, I want to thank you, Director Mueller, for your life of rectitude and service to our country. It's clear from your report and the evidence that the president wanted former Attorney General Sessions to violate the Justice Department ethics rules by taking over your investigation and improperly interfering with it to protect himself and his campaign.
There are no ethics here. Give me a break with your fake ethics.
Because in America, nobody is above the law. I yield
back. Except Hillary Clinton and James Comey and Google.
Thank the gentleman yielding back, the gentleman from Ohio.
Thank you. Director Mueller, my Democratic colleagues were very disappointed in your report. They were expecting you to say something along the lines of, here's why President Trump deserves to be impeached, much as Ken Starr did relative to President Clinton back about 20 years ago. Well, you didn't. So their strategy had to change. Now they allege that there's plenty of evidence in your report to impeach the president, but the American people just didn't read it. And this hearing today is their last best hope to build up some sort of groundswell across America to impeach President Trump. That's what this is really all about today. Now, a few questions.
Bingo.
On page 103 of volume 2.
There's your election
your
meddling
report,
right there, folks.
When discussing
exactly.
June 2016.
Exactly. Trump they're using meeting. All the powers of government that they can to try to reverse a duly elected president. There is your election interference right there. The damn Democrats. And if you want to talk about Russian collusion, we all know it was Hillary Clinton. And I'm sick of having to repeat this ad nauseum, but I guess we just have to since these people don't want to live in reality.
Produced the Steele reporting. The name of the firm that produced that was Fusion GPS. Is that correct?
He's never heard of them.
I'm not familiar with that.
Stunning.
Well, let me just help you.
Stunning. Stunning.
Fusion GPS. Now, Fusion GPS produced the opposition research document.
How can Bob Mueller not know who Fusion GPS is? He's a liar. He knows damn well. I bet he's probably paid him.
Someone named Glenn Simpson. Are you familiar with?
This is outside my purview.
Okay. Glenn Simpson was never mentioned.
He knows exactly who these people are. What? This is perjury right here.
Mueller report, was he?
Well, this is, as I say, it's outside my purview, and it's being handled in the department by others.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm just investigating Russian collusion, but I don't know Fusion GPS and Perkins Coie, who actually got Russian intelligence for Hillary Clinton. I don't know about that. My job was to destroy Trump. Oh, wait. Oh, I mean, my job was to investigate Russian collusion.
Working to collect opposition research on Donald Trump from foreign sources on behalf of the Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee. It also was representing a Russian-based company, Prevazon, which had been sanctioned by the U.S. government. Are you aware of that?
It's outside my purview.
Okay, thank you. One of the key players in the...
Literally, there's all the Russian collusion right there. He's investigating Russian collusion, and the Russian collusion is outside of his purview.
Natalia Vizhnyetskaya, who you described in your report as a Russian attorney who advocated for the repeal of the Magnitsky Act. Vizhnyetskaya had been working with none other than Glenn Simpson and Fusion GPS since at least early 2014. Are you aware of that?
Outside my purview.
Thank you. But you didn't outside mention purview, that or her connections
covering that
to Glenn
lawyer.
Simpson and Fusion GPS in your report
how
at
can
all.
You be so stupid not to see
let
this.
Me move on. Now, NBC
That's
News.
That's amazing. How can you be so stupid not to see how partisan this is? Even if you hate Trump, you have to admit that this is the most partisan, biased thing you've ever seen in your life.
Describing alleged tax evasion and donation to Democrats from none other than Glenn Simpson, the Fusion GPS owner. You didn't include that in the report, and I assume you're saying that would be
outside. The matter being handled by others at the Department of Justice.
Okay, thank you. Now, your report spends 14 pages discussing the June 9th, 2016 Trump Tower meeting. It would be fair to say, would it not, that you spent significant resources investigating that meeting?
Well, I refer you to the report.
Yeah, millions of dollars, didn't you, Bob?
President Trump wasn't at the meeting.
No, he was not.
Thank you. Now, in stark contrast to the actions of the Trump campaign, we know that the Clinton campaign did pay Fusion GPS to gather dirt on the Trump campaign from persons associated with foreign governments. But your report doesn't mention a thing about Fusion GPS in it, and you didn't investigate Fusion GPS's connections to Russia. So let me just ask you this. Can you see that from neglecting to mention Glenn Simpson and Fusion GPS's involvement with the Clinton campaign to focusing on a brief meeting at the Trump Tower that produced nothing, to ignoring the Clinton campaign's own ties to Fusion GPS, why some view your report as a pretty one-sided attack on the president?
Well, I tell you, this is still outside my purview.
All right. And I would just note finally that I guess it is by chance.
Here's Russian collusion. Oh, that's outside my purview.
Favorable to the president. My time's expired.
Literally, that's what that is.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Bob Mueller. I'm investigating Russian collusion. Hey, Bob, here's some Russian collusion. Well, that's outside of my purview.
Found that President Trump.
Here's the guy that thinks that islands
White float. House counsel Don McGahn to fire you. Isn't that correct?
True.
And the president claimed that he wanted to fire you.
You suck.
Because you had supposed conflicts of interest.
You
Isn't
suck.
That correct?
True.
Now, you had no conflicts of interest.
This is what he does. Anytime the Democrats lob him up softballs, yep, true, yep, true. Republican asks him a real question. No, that's outside of my purview.
The president that the asserted conflicts were, in his words, silly and not real conflicts. Isn't that true?
I refer to the report on that episode.
Well, page 85 of volume 2 speaks to that. And also, Director Mueller, DOJ ethics officials confirmed that you had no conflicts that would prevent you from serving as special counsel. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
But despite Don McGahn and the Department of Justice guidance, around May 23rd, 2017, the president, quote, prodded McGahn to complain to Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein about these supposed conflicts of interest. Correct?
Correct.
And McGahn declined to call Rosenstein, telling the president that it would look like still trying to meddle in the investigation and knocking out Mueller would be another fact used to claim obstruction of justice.
Folks, they literally sent FBI agents to spy on the president. They had him tapped. They got nothing. They literally had him tapped 24/7 and got nothing. And Bob Mueller is up here fumbling around trying to save the Russian collusion hub.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. Warning, this broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, we're doing breakdown analysis of the Mueller testimony you won't find anywhere else. Let's go right back. Louis Gohmert up next, questioning Bob the Sedition Man Mueller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Mueller, well, first, let me ask unanimous consent, Mr. Chairman, to submit this article, Robert Mueller Unmasked, for the record.
Without objection.
Now, Mr. Mueller, who wrote the 9-minute comments you read at your May 29th press conference?
I'm not going to get into that.
Okay, so that's what I thought. You didn't write it. A 2013 puff piece in the Washingtonian about Comey said basically when Comey called, you drop everything you were doing. It gave examples. You're having dinner with your wife and daughter. Comey calls, you drop everything and go. The article quoted Comey as saying if a train were coming down the track, and I quote, at least Bob Mueller will be standing on the tracks with me.
Yes.
You and James Comey have been good friends or were good friends for many years, correct?
No, we were business associates. We both started off in the Justice Department about this
You were good time. Friends. You can work together and not be friends, but you we and were Comey friends. Were friends.
We were friends.
That's my question. Thank you for getting to the answer.
Yeah, now, before you were appointed a special
guilty
counsel,
of perjury, but of course, Mueller is too now.
Did you talk to James Comey in the preceding 6 months?
No.
When you were appointed as special counsel, was President Trump's firing of Comey something you anticipated investigating, potentially obstruction of justice?
I'm not going to get into that. FBI internal deliberations in the Justice Department.
Democrats ask questions, he answers. Republicans ask questions, he says, nope, not getting into it.
It's always relevant, it's always material, and that goes for you, too. You're a witness before us. Let me ask you, when you talked to President Trump the day before he appointed you, or you were appointed as special counsel, you were talking to him about FBI director position again. Did he mention the firing of James Comey?
Not as a candidate. I was asked.
Did he mention the firing of James Comey in your discussion with him?
Cannot remember.
Pardon?
Cannot remember. Don't believe so, but I'm not going to be specific.
You don't remember. But if he did, you could have been a fact witness as to the president's comments and state of mind on firing James Comey.
I suppose that's possible.
Yeah. So most prosecutors want to make sure there's no appearance of impropriety. But in your case, you hired a bunch of people that did not like the president. Let me ask you, when did you first learn of Peter Strzok's animus toward Donald Trump?
In the summer of 2017.
You didn't know before he was hired?
I'm sorry? What did
you didn't know before he was hired for your team?
Know what?
Peter Strzok hated Trump.
Okay.
You didn't know that before he was made part of your team. Is that what you're saying?
I did not know that.
All right. When did you first learn?
When he did find out, I acted swiftly to have him reassigned elsewhere in the FBI.
Well, there's some discussion about how swift that was. But when did you learn of the ongoing affair he was having with Lisa Page?
About the same time I learned from Strzok.
Did you ever order anybody to investigate the deletion of all of their texts off of their government phones?
Once we found that Peter Strzok was an author of... May I finish?
Well, you're not answering my question. Did you order an investigation into the deletion and reformatting of their government phones?
No, there was an IG investigation ongoing.
Well, listen, regarding collusion or conspiracy, you didn't find evidence of any agreement, I'm quoting you, among the Trump campaign officials and any Russia-linked individuals to interfere with our U.S. election, correct?
Correct.
So you also note in the report that an element of any of those obstructions you referenced requires a corrupt state of mind, correct?
Corrupt intent, correct.
Right. And if somebody knows they did not conspire with anybody from Russia to affect the election, and they see the big Justice Department with people that hate that person coming after them, and then a special counsel appointed who hires dozen or more people that hate that person, and he knows he's innocent, he's not corruptly acting in order to see that justice is done. What he's doing is not obstructing justice. He is pursuing justice. And the fact that you ran it out 2 years means you.
I hope that we pursue justice.
The witness may answer the question.
I hope we get some justice.
I take your question.
The gentleman from Florida.
Director Mueller, I'd like to get back to your findings covering June of 2017. There was a bombshell article that reported that the President of the United States was personally under investigation for obstruction of justice. And you said in your report on page 90, volume 2, and I quote, news of the obstruction investigation prompted the president to call McGahn and seek to have the special counsel removed, close quote. And then in your report,
costing the American taxpayer millions of dollars and hurting this country.
And regarding the
second call, for nothing, and it was all partisan.
He wrote, and I quote, McGahn recalled that the president was more direct, saying something like, call Rod, tell Rod that Mueller has conflicts and can't be the special counsel. McGahn recalled the president telling him, Mueller has to go, and call me back when you do it.
And again, this is all factual with proof and evidence.
Director Mueller, did McGahn understand what the president was ordering him
Mueller
to do?
Mueller hired a bunch of Democrats to destroy Trump. That's a fact. That's political bias on a special counsel.
McGahn understood the president to be saying
were Hillary's
that the special
lawyers.
Counsel had to be removed. You also said on page 86 that, quote, McGahn considered the president's request to be an inflection point, and he wanted to hit the brakes, and he felt trapped, and McGahn decided he had to resign. McGahn took action to prepare to resign. Isn't that correct?
I direct you again to the report.
And in fact, that very day he went to the White House, and quoting your report, you said, quote, he then drove to the office to pack his belongings and submit his resignation letter, close quote.
That is directly from the report.
It is. And before he resigned, however, he called the president's chief of staff, Reince Priebus, and he called the president's senior advisor, Steve Bannon. And do you recall what McGahn told them?
Whatever was said will appear in the report.
It is. And it says on page 87, quote, Priebus recalled that McGahn said that the president asked him to do crazy expletive. In other words, crazy stuff. The White House counsel thought that the president's request was completely out of bounds. He said the president asked him to do something crazy.
They get to do this, which is completely out of bounds. They get to have a totally partisan hack special counsel that's totally out of bounds. They get to collude with Russia and then blame Trump. It's totally out of bounds. Adam Schiff gets prank called by Ukrainians claiming they have dirt on Donald Trump. Schiff takes it, but Trump's not allowed to do anything. See, again, it all comes back to the standards. Democrats can do whatever the hell they want. They literally can beat women, sexually abuse women, hop on pedophile island, and nothing. They can rig and meddle in elections, everything. They do damn everything. But Trump can't even talk about WikiLeaks. Trump can't even try to be president of the United States. That's what this whole thing is about. And look, we're lucky that Donald Trump got in this position. We're lucky an eccentric billionaire playboy is in this position so that we can highlight everything that's going on. But it doesn't matter. It would have been anybody. It's you in President Trump's seat. It's me in President Trump's seat. It's all of us. They're saying we don't have the right to rule our country. They're saying we don't have the right to control our destiny. We have no rights. The Democrats and the establishment can do whatever the hell they want.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Let's go right back to it. The Democrat-Russian collusion hoax.
In response to two different lines of questionings that you would refer as it relates to this firing discussion, that I would refer you to the report and the way it was characterized in the report. Importantly, the president never said fire Mueller or in the investigation. And one doesn't necessitate the other. And McGahn, in fact, did not resign. He stuck around for a year and a half. On March 24th, Attorney General Barr informed the committee that he had received the special counsel's report. And it was not until April 18th that the Attorney General released the report to Congress and the public. When you submitted your report to the Attorney General, did you deliver a redacted version of the report so that he would be able to release it to Congress?
Let me repeat this out there. The Democrats are engaging in all the nefarious activity that they're claiming Trump is engaging in. So this is all about do as I say, not as I do. This is all about setting the standard that they have one set of rules, and really it's not even Trump, but the American people don't get that same treatment. You're scum, you're dirt, but if you're a Democrat or a Democrat operative, you're literally God's gift to earth. You can be found guilty of no crimes. And so this whole thing is projection. They all know it's projection. They all know it was Hillary Clinton that colluded with Russia. And again, you just have to ask, what is really motivating these people to be bold-faced liars? Is it because of their ideology that motivates them to be such bold-faced liars? Is it because of their politics? Is it because they hate Trump and America so much? Or is it because they are blackmailed and this is what they're being told to do? So let's go back to this sedition in real time, the Democrats with a fake story to destroy America and Donald Trump, the president, with Russian collusion.
Times reported that, quote, the president had ordered McGahn to have the Department of Justice fire you. Is that correct?
Correct.
And that story related to
even
the events
they
you
just
already
said
testified
that that
about here today. The president's calls to McGahn to have you removed, correct?
Correct.
After the news broke, did the president go on TV and deny the story?
Do not know.
In fact, the president said, quote, fake news, folks, fake news, a typical New York Times fake story, end quote, correct?
Correct.
Oh, now
your investigation actually found substantial evidence that McGahn was ordered by the president to fire you, correct?
Yes.
Did the president's personal lawyer
do something? They just documented how they didn't have that evidence.
In response to that,
it was all hearsay.
I'd refer you to the coverage of this in the report.
On page 114, quote, on January 26, 2018, the president's personal counsel called McGahn's attorney and said that the president wanted McGahn to put out a statement denying that he had been asked
so
to
imagine,
fire the
though,
special counsel.
The president knows this whole thing is illegal. That's the beef. That's the catch. The whole Mueller investigation was illegal to begin with. The whole thing was out to get Trump. They weren't looking for Russian collusion. They weren't trying to protect election. It's all BS. So the president's job is to protect this country. And so that's all he's trying to do. But again, the Democrats, they get to make the rules. They're in charge. They dominate you.
Attorney told the president that he was not going to lie. Is that right?
True.
Did the president drop the issue?
I refer to the write-up of this in the report.
Okay, next, the president told the White House staff secretary, Rob Porter, to try to pressure McGahn to make a false
denial. So they sit here with these little semantics about Don McGahn. People don't know. People don't care. What they want to know and what they want to see is any evidence. And they have no evidence. But they have to drag this whole Russian collusion narrative out as long as possible because they're going to use it to try to defeat Trump in 2020. And it's just stunning that they can get away with this. Now, I don't think the American people buy it anymore. But to see the Democrats engaged in open sedition against the country like this, it infuriates me so much that, I mean, I just feel like it's a total dereliction of duty if the president doesn't step in. We need to have an investigation of this investigation. Now let's go to the powerful testimony from Jim Jordan before we conclude this second hour of the War Room.
193, Volume 1, MIPSID denied. MIPSID also falsely stated. In addition, MIPSID omitted. Three times he lied to the FBI, yet you didn't charge him with the crime.
Excuse me, did you say 193?
Volume 1, 193. He lied three times, you pointed out in the report. Why didn't you charge him with the crime?
I can't get into internal deliberations with regard to who would or would not be.
I know the answer.
Charge a lot of other people
FBI
to make
operative.
A false statement. Let's remember this. In 2016,
caught.
The FBI did something they probably haven't done before.
Or he was CIA, excuse me.
He spied on two American citizens associated with a presidential campaign, George Papadopoulos and Carter Page. With Carter Page, they went to the FISA court. They used the now famous dossier as part of the reason they were able to get the warrant and spy on Carter Page for a better part of a year. With Mr. Papadopoulos, they didn't go to the court. They used human sources. All kinds of, from about the moment Papadopoulos joins the Trump campaign, you got all these people all around the world starting to swirl around him. Names like Halper, Downer, MIPSID, Thompson, meeting in Rome, London, all kinds of places.
Operatives.
The FBI even sent a lady posing as somebody else, went by the name Azra Turk, even dispatched her to London to spy on Mr. Papadopoulos. In one of these meetings, Mr.
Papadopoulos is such a good guy, he didn't fall for any of it. He was just being a real guy, like, hey, what's up?
That diplomat then contacts the FBI, and the FBI opens an investigation based on that fact. You point this out on page one of the report. July 31st, 2016, they open the investigation based on that piece of information. Diplomat tells Papadopoulos, Russians have dirt, Papadopoulos tells the diplomat, Russians have dirt on Clinton. Diplomat tells the FBI. What I'm wondering is, who told Papadopoulos? How'd he find out?
I can't get into the evidentiary file.
You know who it was. It was your operative, Mueller.
Answer. Page 192 of the report, you tell us who told him. Joseph Mifsud. Joseph Mifsud's a guy who told Papadopoulos. The mysterious professor who lives in Rome and London, works at teaching in two different universities. This is the guy who told Papadopoulos. He's the guy who starts it all. And when the FBI interviews him, he lies three times. And yet you don't charge him with a crime. You charge Rick Gates for false statements. You charge Paul Manafort for false statements.
Mifsud
you charge
was
Michael
their
Cohen
operative.
With false statements.
He planted the story.
You charge a three-star general with false statements. But the guy who puts the country through this whole saga, starts it all for 3 years we've lived this now, he lies, and you guys don't charge him. And I'm curious as to why.
Well, we can't get into it, and it's obvious, I think, that we can't get into charging decisions.
When the FBI interviewed him in February,
I bet you could if it was a Trump
when the special counsel's office interviewed Mifsud, did he lie to you guys, too?
Can't get into that.
Did you interview Mifsud?
Can't get into that.
Is Mifsud Western intelligence or Russian intelligence?
Can't get into that.
A lot of things you can't get into. What's interesting, you can charge 13 Russians no one's ever heard of, no one's ever seen.
By the way, they
no one's ever
going to
hear of them.
Mueller didn't show up to court.
You can charge them. You can charge all kinds of people who are around the president with false statements. But the guy who launches the guy who puts this whole story in motion, you can't charge him. I think that's amazing.
I'm not certain I agree with your characterizations.
Well, I'm reading from your report.
It's in your own
Mifsud
report,
told
you
Papadopoulos.
Liar.
Papadopoulos tells the diplomat. The diplomat tells the FBI. The FBI opens the investigation July 31st, 2016. And here we are 3 years later, July of 2019. The country's been put through this. And the central figure who launches it all lies to us. And you guys don't hunt him down and interview him again. And you don't charge him with a crime. Now, here's the good news. Here's the good news. The president was falsely accused of conspiracy. The FBI does a 10-month investigation. And James Comey, when we deposed him a year ago, told us at that point they had nothing. You do a 22-month investigation. At the end of that 22 months, you find no conspiracy. And what's the Democrats want to do? They want to keep investigating. They want to keep going. Maybe a better course of action, is to figure out how the false accusation started. Maybe it's to go back and actually figure out why Joseph Mifsud was lying to the FBI. And here's the good news.
Of course, we know
here's
why.
Here's the good news.
It's a Clinton
That's operative. Exactly what Bill Barr's doing. And thank goodness for that. That's exactly what the Attorney General and John Durham are doing. They're going to find out why we went through this
three-year
saga and get to the bottom of it.
Time of the gentleman has expired. In a moment, we will take a very brief five-minute break.
We're going to take a break here, too. We'll come back. The Democrats are putting another statement out right now in response to the Mueller hearings. Folks, look, it really comes down to the president needing to do his job, and I'm done with excuses. This is so out of control, and the average American person, the average citizen, has no idea. It's so contorted. It's so confused. How can they possibly know? It's time to get the real answers and arrest the real criminals.
Infowars.com/show. The fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, trying to get as much of this Democrat sedition in as possible. Let's go back to the Bob Mueller sedition testimony.
Mr. Mueller, Congressman Dutch addressed Trump's request to McGahn
to fire you. Representative Bass again talked about the president's request of McGahn to deny the fact that the president made that request. So I want to pick up where they left off, and I want to pick up with the president's personal lawyer. In fact, there was evidence that the president's personal lawyer was alarmed at the prospect of the president meeting with Mr. McGahn to discuss Mr. McGahn's refusal to deny the New York Times report about the president trying to fire you, correct?
Correct.
In fact, the president's counsel was so alarmed by the prospect of the president's meeting with McGahn that he called Mr. McGahn's counsel and said that McGahn could not resign no matter what happened in the Oval Office that day, correct?
Correct.
So it's accurate to say that the president knew that he was asking McGahn to deny facts that McGahn, quote, had repeatedly said were accurate, unquote. Isn't that right?
Correct.
Your investigation also found, quote, by the time of the Oval Office meeting with the president was aware, one, that McGahn did not think the story was false, two, did not want to issue a statement or create a written record denying facts that McGahn believed to be true. The president nevertheless persisted and asked McGahn to repudiate facts that McGahn had repeatedly said were accurate. Isn't that correct?
Generally true.
I believe that's on page 119. Thank you. In other words, the president was trying to force McGahn to say something that McGahn did not believe to be true.
That's accurate.
I want to reference you to a slide, and it's on page 120. And it says, substantial evidence indicates that in repeatedly urging McGahn to dispute that he was ordered to have the special counsel terminated, the president acted for the purpose of influencing McGahn's account in order to deflect or prevent further scrutiny of the president's conduct towards the investigation.
It's accurate.
Can you explain what you meant there?
I'm just going to leave it in, as it appears in the report.
So it's fair to say the president tried to protect himself by asking staff to falsify records relevant to an ongoing investigation.
I would say that's generally a summary.
Would you say that that action, the president tried to hamper the investigation by asking staff to falsify records relevant to your investigation?
I'm just going to refer you to the report, if I could, for review of that that episode.
Thank you. Also, the president's attempt to get McGahn to create a false written record were related to Mr. Trump's concerns about your obstruction of justice inquiry, correct?
I believe that to be true.
In fact, at that same Oval Office meeting, did the president also ask McGahn why he had told, quote, why he had told special counsel's office investigators that the president told him to have you removed, unquote?
And what was the question, sir, if I might?
Let me go to the next one. The president, quote, criticized McGahn for telling your office about the June 17, 2017 events when he told McGahn to have you removed, correct?
Correct.
In other words, the president was criticizing his White House counsel for telling law enforcement officials what he believed to be the truth.
I again go back to the text of the report.
Well, let me go a little bit further. Would it have been a crime if Mr. McGahn had lied to you about the president ordering him to
all
fire
right,
you?
So just a bunch of more hearsay. They're trying to extend this whole thing. It's obviously want to energize some narrative behind Don McGahn. The president should have shut it down and needs to shut it down now. Somebody should just get arrested for this. It's out of control. Continue to play as much of this Mueller testimony as we can, but I want to explain something to new audience members, if we can still pick any new ones up. Of course, that's why they ban us off social media. But the reason, one of the main reasons why we're banned off of social media is because when there's a big story like this and a big viral moment happening that has all the eyes on it, like this Mueller testimony,
we used to be able to inject ourselves into that viral phenomenon and dominate. We would have the most live viewers. We could dominate the narrative. We could expose their lies in real time. They hated us doing that, so they shut us down off social media. They told Alex Jones, you're not allowed to even basically use any social media at all. So instead of people going on to YouTube or Facebook or Twitter and looking for live coverage of the Mueller report, they won't find InfoWars. They'll only find the New York Times, Washington Post, and the rest of their corrupt, lying media. And so that's how they're able to deceive the American public, because the average American citizen doesn't think everybody's out to get them. The average American citizen doesn't think the Democrat is a bold-faced liar and the media goes along with all of it. But then once you look into it all for yourself, you realize, wow, that really is the case. So it sucks that they censor us. And I'm just going to say this. I don't do this too often, but this is one of those broadcasts. We're going to upload the video. It's going to be full Mueller testimony analysis and breakdown. We're going to upload that to InfoWars.com/war room. You need to download that video and put it on your YouTube channel. And make sure you're using the keywords like Robert Mueller testimony, Mueller hearing, whatever it is, to dominate this narrative so that the Democrat anti-American media cannot win. That's what it's all about. They want to dominate the narrative. They want to dominate the stream of consciousness. We have to fight that by injecting us into the matrix, but we can't do that anymore. We need you to do that. Now, we don't want them to disappear us either. They try to shut us down. You've seen all the attacks against us. The good news is our audience supports us at InfoWarsStore.com. We've got big specials. We make it easy. 50% off DNA Force Plus and Super Male Vitality right now, but I'm really excited because I want you to take advantage of this, folks. I'm telling you, you will not regret this one. 15% off all ProPure shower filters right now with coupon code WARROOM at checkout. 15% off all ProPure shower filters right now with coupon code WARROOM at checkout. And I'm excited about this. I installed my ProPure water filter shower head this weekend. There's the one I got right there, the ProPure Chrome Plus shower filter with ProMax. It's my favorite shower head ever. Five different functions, the best water pressure, and it's filtered. And you'll find basically with the same shower head, you'll spend $100 at a department store. We're selling it to you cheaper than that. Plus, it has the filter system on it. Plus, it has the extendable hose on it. So it's the best deal, and now it's 15% off with coupon code WARROOM at checkout. Please take advantage and filter the water that you bathe in and that eventually you breathe in, too, when you take a hot shower. So just consider all that, and please take advantage of this special. All right, let's now go to Matt Gaetz, an American hero and patriot, at the Bob Mueller testimony.
Opening statement. Building of the case was predated me, and by at least 10 months.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Manafort's alleged crimes regarding tax evasion predated you. You had no problem charging them. And matter of fact, this Steele dossier predated the Attorney General, and he didn't have any problem answering the question. When Senator Cornyn asked the Attorney General the exact question I asked you, Director, the Attorney General said, and I'm quoting, "No, I can't state that with confidence, and that's one of the areas I'm reviewing. I'm concerned about it, and I don't think it's entirely speculative." Now, if something is not entirely speculative, then it must have some factual basis, but you identify no factual basis regarding the dossier or the possibility that it was part of the Russia disinformation campaign. Now, Christopher Steele's reporting is referenced in your report. Steele reported to the FBI that senior Russian foreign ministry figures, along with other Russians, told him that there was, and I'm quoting from the Steele dossier, extensive evidence of conspiracy between the Trump campaign team and the Kremlin. So here's my question. Did Russians really tell that to Christopher Steele, or did he just make it all up and was he lying to the FBI?
Let me back up a second, if I could, and say, as I said earlier, with regard to the Steele, that's beyond my purview.
No, it is exactly your purview, Director Mueller, and here's why. Only one of two things is possible, right? Either Steele made this whole thing up and there were never any Russians telling him of this vast criminal conspiracy that you didn't find, or Russians lied to Steele. Now, if Russians were lying to Steele to undermine our confidence in our duly elected president, that would seem to be precisely your purview, because you stated in your opening that the organizing principle was to fully and thoroughly investigate Russia's interference. But you weren't interested in whether or not Russians were interfering through Christopher Steele. And if Steele was lying, then you should have charged him with lying like you charged a variety of other people. But you say nothing about this in your report.
Well, sir.
Meanwhile, Director, you're quite loquacious on other topics. You write 3,500 words about the June 9 meeting between the Trump campaign and Russian lawyer Veselnitskaya. You write on page 103 of your report that the president's legal team suggested, and I'm quoting from your report, that the meeting might have been a setup by individuals working with the firm that produced the Steele reporting. So I'm going to ask you a very easy question, Director Mueller. On the week of June 9, who did Russian lawyer Veselnitskaya meet with more frequently? The Trump campaign or Glenn Simpson, who was functionally acting as an operative for the Democratic National Committee?
Well, what I think is missing here is the fact that this is under investigation elsewhere in the Justice Department. And if I can finish, sir. And consequently, it's not within my purview. Department of Justice and FBI should be responsive to questions on this particular issue.
It is absurd to suggest that a operative for the Democrats was meeting with this Russian lawyer the day before and the day after the Trump Tower meeting, and yet that's not something you referenced. Now, Glenn Simpson testified under oath he had dinner with Veselnitskaya the day before and the day after this meeting with the Trump team. Do you have any basis, as you sit here today, to believe that Steele was lying?
As I said before, and I'll say again, it's not my purview. Others are investigating what you
So it's not your purview to look into whether or not Steele's lying. It's not your purview to look into whether or not anti-Trump Russians are lying to Steele. And it's not your purview to look at whether or not Glenn Simpson was meeting with the Russians the day before and the day after you write 3,500 words about the Trump campaign meeting. So I'm wondering how these decisions are guided. I look at the Inspector General's report. I'm citing from page 404 of the Inspector General's report. It states, Page stated, Trump's not ever going to be president, right? Right. Strzok replied, no, he's not. We'll stop it. Also in the Inspector General's report, there's someone identified as Attorney Number 2. Attorney Number 2, this is page 419, replied, hell no, and then added, viva la resistance. Attorney Number 2 in the Inspector General's report and Strzok both worked on your team, didn't they?
Pardon me? Can you ask?
They both worked on your team, didn't they?
I know. I heard Strzok. Who else were you talking about?
Attorney Number 2 identified in the Inspector General's report.
Okay. And the question was?
Did he work for you? The guy who said viva la resistance.
Peter Strzok worked for me for a period of time, yes.
Yeah, but so did the other guy that said viva la resistance. And here's what I'm kind of noticing, Director Mueller. When people associated with Trump lied, you threw the book at them. When Christopher Steele lied, nothing. And so it seems to be that when Glenn Simpson met with Russians, nothing. When the Trump campaign met with Russians, 3,500 words. And maybe the reason why there are this discrepancies in what you focused on is because the team
time
was
the,
so biased.
Time of the gentleman
pledged to
has expired.
Pledged to
Mr.
stop Trump.
Jeffries of New York is recognized.
Mr. Mueller, obstruction of justice is a serious crime that strikes at the core of an investigator's effort to find the truth, correct?
Correct.
The crime of obstruction of justice has three elements, true?
True.
The first element is an obstructive act, correct?
Correct.
An obstructive act could include taking an action that would delay or interfere
just
with an ongoing
the
investigation as set
of
forth
approach
in
answering questions that Mueller has between the Democrats and the Republicans, folks. I don't know if they scripted all this, but it's clear Mueller will cooperate with the Democrats and not with the Republicans, because Gates and Jordan and Gohmert and the like, they know what happened. They know that this whole thing is treason, started by Obama and Hillary Clinton, and Mueller went along for the ride. Why? I don't know. Maybe he's blackmailed. Maybe he's an ideologue. But they all know it. And why are all these Democrats going along with it? Probably for the same reasons.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
It's really frustrating to sit here and watch this Mueller report testimony and the Democrats pretending like they care about election integrity. Meanwhile, we have Google literally caught red-handed manipulating U.S. elections. And the Democrats don't blink an eye. Why? Because they're in on it. Democrats get to commit crimes against America, and if you get in their way, you're the criminal. Let's go back to Mueller's testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Mueller over here.
Hi.
Hi. I want to start by thanking you for your service. You joined the Marines and led a rifle platoon in Vietnam, where you earned a Bronze Star, Purple Heart, and other commendations. You served as an assistant United States attorney leading the homicide unit here in D.C., U.S. attorney for the District of Massachusetts and later Northern District of California, assistant attorney general for DOJ's criminal division, and the FBI director. So thank you. I appreciate that. But having reviewed your biography, it puzzles me why you handled your duties in this case the way you did. The report contradicts what you taught young attorneys at the Department of Justice, including to ensure that every defendant is treated fairly. Or as Justice Sutherland said in the Berger case, a prosecutor is not the representative of an ordinary party to a controversy, but of a sovereignty, whose interest in a criminal prosecution is not that it shall win a case, but that justice shall be done, and that the prosecutor may strike hard blows, but he is not at liberty to strike foul ones. By listing the 10 factual situations and not reaching a conclusion about the merits of the case, you unfairly shifted the burden of proof to the president, forcing him to prove his innocence while denying him a legal forum to do so. And I've never heard of a prosecutor declining a case and then holding a press conference to talk about the defendant. You noted 8 times in your report that you had a legal duty under the regulations to either prosecute or decline charges. Despite this, you disregarded that duty. As a former prosecutor, I'm also troubled with your legal analysis. You discussed 10 separate factual patterns involving alleged obstruction, and then you failed to separately apply the elements of the applicable statutes. I looked at the 10 factual situations, and I read the case law. And I have to tell you, just looking at the Flynn matter, for example, the 4 statutes that you cited for possible obstruction, 1503, 1505, 1512B3, and 1512C2, when I look at those concerning the Flynn matter, 1503 is inapplicable because there wasn't a grand jury or trial jury impaneled, and Director Comey was not an officer of the court as defined by the statute. Section 1505 criminalizes acts that would obstruct or impede administrative proceedings at those before Congress or an administrative agency. The Department of Justice Criminal Resource Manual states that the FBI investigation is not a pending proceeding. 1512B3 talks about intimidation, threats of force to tamper with a witness. General Flynn at the time was not a witness, and certainly Director Comey was not a witness. And 1512C2 talks about tampering with a record. And as Joe Biden described the statute as being debated on the Senate floor, he called this a statute criminalizing document shredding. And there's nothing in the in your report that alleges that the president destroyed any evidence. So what I have to ask you, and what I think people are working around in this hearing is... let me lay a little foundation for it. The ethical rules require that a prosecutor have a reasonable probability of conviction to bring a charge. Is that correct?
Sounds generally accurate.
Okay. And the regulations concerning your job as special counsel state that your job is to provide the attorney general with a confidential report explaining the prosecution or declination decisions reached by your office. You recommended declining prosecution of President Trump and anyone associated with his campaign because there was insufficient evidence to convict for a charge of conspiracy with Russian interference in the 2016 election. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Was there sufficient evidence to convict President Trump or anyone else with obstruction of justice?
We did not make that calculation.
How could you not have made the calculation
because
with the regulation?
The OLC opinion, Office of Legal Counsel, indicates
so
that we cannot
indict. This is Mueller just leaving it out there, saying, well, yeah, he's probably a criminal, but we just chose not to indict. That's what he's doing, even though he knows that's a lie.
The
Russian It's all about keeping the narrative alive.
You couldn't have indicted the president on that, and you made the decision on that. But when it came to obstruction, you threw a bunch of stuff up against the wall.
So MSNBC and CNN and ABC and everyone uses that clip later to say, it's not over yet. We can still get Trump.
To the Attorney General in the form of
just continuing to deceive their audience.
Of the case, those cases that were brought, those cases were declined, and that one case where the president cannot be charged with a crime.
Okay, but the could you charge the president with a crime after he left office?
Yes.
You believe that he committed, you could charge the president of the United States with obstruction of justice after he left office?
Yes.
Ethically, under the ethical standards?
Well, I'm not certain because I haven't looked at the ethical standards, but the OLC opinion says that the prosecutor, while he cannot bring a charge against the sitting president, nonetheless, he can continue the investigation to see if there are any other persons who might be drawn into the...
I hope the president hears this loud and clear. And in case Mueller didn't make it clear enough, let me... President Donald Trump, they are never going to stop coming after you unless they're in jail. Do you understand? They will never stop trying to destroy your life. They will never stop trying to destroy this country. They will never stop. They will never stop engaging in sedition. They will never stop dividing this country. They will never stop using their politicized bureaucracies to destroy legitimate Americans trying to save this country. They will never stop until they're in jail. I hope the president hears this message.
Correct. And was Corey Lewandowski one such individual?
Again, can you remind me what character?
Corey Lewandowski is the president's former campaign manager, correct?
Correct.
Did he have any official position in the Trump administration?
I don't believe so.
Your report describes an incident in the Oval Office involving Mr. Lewandowski on June 19, 2017, at volume 2, page 91. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, what's the citation, sir?
Page 91.
Of the second volume?
Yes.
And
a meeting in the Oval Office between Mr. Lewandowski and the president.
Okay.
And that was just 2 days after the president called Don McGahn at home and ordered him to fire you. Is that correct?
Apparently so.
So right after his White House counsel, Mr. McGahn, refused to follow the president's order to fire you, the president came up with a new
that's
plan.
Not
and that was
true.
To go around all
he
of
He said shut down the investigation. He never said fire Bob Mueller. He said, shut down the fake investigation.
What did the president tell Mr. Lewandowski to do? Do you recall he told him
but
he dictated a message?
It's all
to
about
Mr.
creating headlines. So the headlines will be Trump orders, obstructs justice by ordering firing of Bob Mueller. Doesn't matter, it never happened.
I'm not going to get into what we may or may not have included in our investigation.
Okay, the message directed Sessions to give, and I'm quoting from your report, to give a public speech saying that he planned to meet with the special prosecutor to explain this is very unfair and let the special prosecutor move forward with investigating election meddling for future elections. That's at page 91. Is that correct?
Yes, I see that. Thank you. Yes, it is.
But in other words, Mr.
Lewandowski. But again, they don't care about election meddling, folks. See, that's the big lie here. That is the biggest lie here. They don't care about election meddling. If they did, they'd be investigating Google. If they did care about Russian interference, they'd be investigating Hillary Clinton. This is all about stopping America from electing their president. That's what this is about. America said, we want Trump. The deep state and the establishment in D.C. said, you don't get Trump. We got Trump. Now they're trying to destroy us.
Infowars.com/show.
Rob Dew in studio Making says he knows what we're calling it. It's the derp state. It's no longer the deep state. It's the derp state. Because derp, derp. All right, listen. It's all out of control. The Democrats are all engaged in sedition against America. It's not even up for debate. And whether you want to say it's ideological or criminal, that's just what it is. Now, this is the last segment I have time to play the rest of this Mueller report. There's still hours. We'll have all the responses from the Republicans and the Democrats tomorrow. And then I got to play the real election meddling in the next segment, which is Google operating with Democrats. But let's go back to the derp state Mueller fake testimony.
Sure. So we're looking at Appendix C.
Right.
And at Appendix C, page 5, you asked the president about a dozen questions about whether he had knowledge that WikiLeaks possessed the stolen emails that might be released in a way helpful to his campaign or.
And again, They don't investigate the
harmful
WikiLeaks
the
emails
campaign. Is that
because the Democrats obstructed justice and wouldn't turn over their servers.
Trump's personal attorney, Michael Cohen, testified to Congress under oath that, quote, Mr. Trump knew from Roger Stone in advance about the WikiLeaks drop of emails, end quote. That's a matter of public record.
Again, so you're not allowed to talk? Well, you're not allowed to have commentary? You're not allowed to say, hey, did you see the WikiLeaks emails? Everybody saw them. The Democrats saw them. They were all talking about it. They were obstructing justice. Oh, but Trump's not allowed to talk, see? Trump's bad. He's not allowed to see the WikiLeaks.
Let's look at an event described on page 18 of volume 2 of your report. Now, according, and we're going to put it up in a slide, I think, according to deputy campaign
literally,
manager
and they don't
Rick
even
Gates,
investigate everything in the emails from the Democrats.
On the way to an airport.
Justice is just dead in this country, man. This is our hope. Like, this is our opportunity to restore justice in America. And it's probably just not going to happen. It crushes your soul.
And when the call ended, Trump told Gates that more releases of damaging information would be coming, end quote. Do you recall
yeah,
that?
Yeah, everybody knew it was coming. WikiLeaks' Julian Assange did an interview on CNN saying it was coming. Where's the investigation into CNN? It's like, here's WikiLeaks. Assange says, hey, we've got more emails we're going to release. We did a whole live broadcast of it, and then they released the emails, and Trump says, hey, they released emails. Oh, that proves Trump colluded. WikiLeaks is Russian. No evidence. It was Seth frickin' Rich, folks.
WikiLeaks with him, nor do I recall being aware of Mr. Stone having discussed WikiLeaks with individuals associated with my campaign, end quote. Is that correct?
If it's from the report, it is correct.
Okay. So is it fair to say the president denied ever discussing WikiLeaks with Mr. Stone and denied being aware that anyone associated with his campaign discussed WikiLeaks with Stone?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that one?
Is it fair then?
It's just ridiculous. Like, oh, they can't talk about a national news story? So it's like an earthquake happens in California. If Trump talks about it, does that mean he colluded with an earthquake?
And with that, I would yield back.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right, this
thing,
Mr.
Chair.
Devastating right
here. Mr. Mueller, over here.
This guy's
Mr. Mueller,
a stud.
Did you indeed interview for the FBI director job one day before you were appointed a special counsel?
My understanding, I was not applying for the job. I was asked to give my input on what it would take to do the job, which triggered the interview you're talking about.
So you don't recall on May 16, 2017, that you interviewed with the president regarding the FBI director job?
I interviewed with the president and was about the job and not about me applying for the job.
So your statement here today is that you didn't interview apply for the FBI director job.
That's correct.
So did you tell the vice president that the FBI director position would be the one job that you would come back to for?
Don't recall that one.
You don't recall that?
No.
Okay. Given your 22 months of investigation, tens of million dollars spent, and millions of documents reviewed, did you obtain any evidence at all that any American voter changed their vote as a result of Russian's election interference?
I'm not going to speak to that.
You can't speak to that? After 22 months of investigation, there's not any evidence in that document before us that any voter changed their vote because of their interference. And I'm asking you, based on all the documents that you reviewed.
That was outside our purview.
Russian meddling was outside your purview?
But the impact of that meddling was undertaken by other agencies.
Okay. You stated in your opening statement that you would not get into the details of the Steele dossier. However, multiple times in Volume 2 on page 23, 27, and 28, you mentioned the unverified allegations. How long did it take you to reach the conclusion that...
This guy is just knocking Mueller out of
it was unverified.
I'm not going to speak to that.
It's actually in your report multiple times that it's unverified, and you're telling me that you're not willing to tell us how you came to the conclusion that it was unverified.
True.
When did you become aware that the unverified Steele dossier was included in the FISA application to spy Carter Page?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
When did you become aware that the unverified Steele dossier was included in the FISA application to spy on Carter Page?
I'm not going to speak to that.
Your team interviewed Christopher Steele, is that correct?
Not going to get into that.
You can't, tell this committee as to whether or not you interviewed Christopher Steele in a 22-month investigation with 18 lawyers.
As I said at the outset, that is one of those, investigations that is being handled by others in the Department of
This one has Mueller
Justice. Totally exposed. Yeah, but you're here testifying about this investigation today, and I am asking you directly, did any members of your team or did you interview Christopher Steele in the course of your investigation?
And I am not going to answer that question, sir.
You had 2 years to investigate. Not once did you consider it worthy to investigate how an unverified document that was paid for by a political opponent was used to obtain a warrant to spy on the opposition political campaign. Did you do any investigation in that whatsoever?
I do not accept your characterization of what occurred.
What would be your characterization?
I'm not going to speak any more to it.
So you can't speak any more to it, but you're not going to agree with my characterization.
Boom. Totally exposed. He's a Democrat operative.
The FISA application makes reference to Source 1, who was Christopher Steele, the author of the Steele dossier. The FISA application says nothing Sources 1's reason for conducting the research into Candidate 1's ties to Russia, based on Sources 1's previous reporting history with FBI, whereby Source 1 provided reliable information to the FBI. The FBI believes Source 1's reporting herein to be credible. Do you believe the FBI's representation that Source 1's reporting was credible to be accurate?
I'm not going to answer that.
So you're not going to respond to any of the questions regarding Christopher Steele or your interviews with them?
Well, as I said at the outset this morning, that was one of the investigations that I could not speak to.
Well, I don't understand how if you interviewed an individual in the purview of this investigation that you're testifying to us today, that you've closed that investigation, how that's not within your purview to tell us about that investigation and who you interviewed.
I have nothing to add.
Okay, well, I can guarantee you that the American people want to know. And I'm very hopeful and glad that AG Barr is looking into this and the Inspector General is looking into this because you're unwilling to answer the questions of the American people as it relates to the very basis of this investigation into the president and the very basis of this individual who you did interview. You're just refusing to answer those questions. Can't the president fire the FBI director?
You had your chance.
Without reason under
you chose the deep state. You chose treason.
Can't he also fire you as special counsel at any time without any reason?
I believe that to be the case.
Under Article 2.
Well, hold on just a second. You said without any reason.
Yeah, you heard him, you treasonous bastard.
I know the special counsel can be fired. But I'm not certain it extends to for whatever reason is given.
Well, and you've testified that you weren't fired. You were able to complete your investigation in full. Is that correct?
I'm not going to add to what I've stated before.
My time's expired.
Gentlemen's time has expired.
Total devastation. Total victory from the representative from Florida. What was his name again? Stubbe? This guy just came out of the woodworks and just delivered knockout blows to Bob Mueller. Here's Mueller after that. Huh? What? You said unverified in your report. Why did you say unverified? I can't say. You mentioned Christopher Steele and his report in your report. Did you interview Christopher Steele? I can't comment on that. Did you interview the origins of the Steele report in regards to why it was used to spy on Carter Page and Papadopoulos? No, I can't speak to that. So you can't speak to your own investigation that you're here testifying on to the American people in the Congress? I disagree with your characterization of facts. Bob Mueller is a bold-faced fraud and probably blackmailed into doing this.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
See if we can pull up the Rob Derp tweet. So get this, folks. Rob Dew coins hashtag Derp State. And tweets out Derp State. He's now been censored. He's now been restricted. He's now been banned from Twitter. Look at this. Derp State. Look at Rob Dew. Get Rob Dew on the camera right now. Look at Rob Derp. Oh, it's the Derp State. It's Rob Derp. Derp-a-derp. So, wow, they're really triggered by Derp State, so that means hashtag Derp State has to trend now on Twitter. Can you even see his tweets? Pull up my Twitter and see if you can even see his tweets or if they've banned all access to his account whatsoever. Derp State, I guarantee you, Rob, I bet you that was Democrats flagging your account
and that's why it got shut down so quickly. That's the image, Derp State, with Mueller and Swalwell and the rest of the Democrat goon squad, and they banned Rob Due on Twitter for tweeting out Derp State. Wow. All right, folks, here's the deal. I'm going to air the part of the Google. It's not really working, Derp. I'm going to air part of the Google Project Veritas expose coming up here in this segment. But, folks, there's so much more to the Mueller testimony, and there's going to be all kinds of commentary happening over the next 24 hours.
People don't believe it.
They don't believe you've been restricted? Here, give me a dot cam on Rob Derp's account at Derp News. Here it is. Your account has been locked. Your account appears to have exhibited unusual behavior that violates Twitter rules.
Derpish behavior.
You've been too derpy. So, honestly, they'll probably let you back on.
Oh, yeah.
This is just a temporary thing. I've seen this. This is a new thing they're doing where they...
Exactly.
They want to stop. What they do is they say, oh, you look like a robot. And so then they make you, yeah, right in the meme. But all right, folks, please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. I mean, literally, we can't even put out a meme without getting banned these days if you're Rob Due. So that's just what it's like. And they don't want us injecting our commentary into the matrix while things are trending, because we absolutely dominate. We're more informed, we're more hardcore, and quite frankly, we're more entertaining if you really want to get down to all the reasons, but that's the deal. Support us at InfoWarsStore.com, 50% off DNA Force Plus, 50% off Super Male Vitality, 50% off all InfoWars Life Select Storable Foods, and 15% off all Pro Pure Filtered Water Shower Heads at InfoWarsStore.com with coupon code WARROOM at checkout. So now I air part of the Project Veritas real expose of election meddling via Google. I sign off. It's going to be a crazy next 48 hours, ladies and gentlemen, for the rest of this week. Buckle up. The president needs to act against the open traitors in the Democrat Party and the deep state. We know their names now. We know their faces. They've been totally exposed. Here's James O'Keefe with Project Veritas exposing Google's election meddling. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.
It's a time to decide, you know, do we run the technology? Does the technology run us? Are we going to continue to have elections that mean anything? Are we going to continue to think for ourselves, or are we going to just let the biggest tech companies decide who wins every election from now on? You know, I look at search and I look at Google News and I see what it's doing, and I see Google executives go to Congress and say that it's not manipulated, it's not political, and I'm just so sure that's not true. I think the big problem that we have today is there's an ambiguity about whether tech is neutral or whether it's biased. And, you know, I think as someone with a PhD in computer science and 5 years of working at one of the world's top computer science companies, I don't see any doubt that it's very politically biased.
They may be able to stop one man, but they can't stop all of us. Your courage will be contagious, and it will awaken a sleeping giant. Be a catalyst for change. Be brave.
James O'Keefe is an American hero. He deserves Nobel Peace Prizes, Pulitzer Prizes. I mean, it's just unbelievable, this guy. Support Project Veritas. Support InfoWars, folks. We're the real media that they hate. That's why they censor us.
Bias in big tech is big news. Just yesterday, the Justice Department launched an antitrust review. 2 weeks ago, I was at the White House summit to talk about big tech with the president and other influencers. Project Veritas investigations have been featured in congressional hearings in both the Senate and the House. Our momentum is growing, and today we have another Google insider, this time out of the shadows, a brave man who is breaking the wall of silence to go on camera as a current Google employee and expose a troubling truth.
My name is Greg Coppola. I'm a senior software engineer. I work on artificial intelligence and the Google Assistant. Yeah, I mean, overall, I'm very concerned to see big tech and the big media merge basically with a political party, with the Democrat Party.
Greg Coppola works in Google's New York office. He says from his insider's view, the reality of Google's political bias is undeniable.
don't have a smoking gun. I just, you know, I've been coding since I was 10. I have a PhD. I have 5 years of experience at Google, and I just know how algorithms are. They don't write themselves. We write them to do what we want them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use machine learning, but even then, you can get the results of machine learning to come out the way you want them to. It's just a tool that we control. You know, I look at search, and I look at Google News, and I see what it's doing, and I see Google executives go to Congress and say that it's not manipulated, it's not political, and I'm just so sure that's not true.
Late last year, Google's CEO, Sundar Pichai, was one of those executives.
I lead this company without political bias and work to ensure that our products continue to operate that way. To do otherwise would be against our core principles and our business interests.
Google CEO Sundar Pichai goes before Congress in December, testifies under oath that the algorithms are politically unbiased. Now, you work on data sets that feed certain algorithms at Google. Based upon what you know and what you've observed, are Google's algorithms unbiased?
Well, first of all, I report to Sundar, of course, and I have a great deal of respect for him as a manager. I work on the Google Assistant, which really doesn't have a political bias. I think it's, you know, ridiculous to say that there's no bias. I think everyone who supports anything other than the Democrats, anyone who's pro-Trump or in any way deviates from what CNN and the New York Times are pushing, notices how bad it is. I think maybe in his mind he can justify it through some redefinition of what the word political is. But I think if you look every day and with every query for, say, for example, Donald Trump, the, you know, Google News is really an aggregator of just a handful of sites, and all of those sites, you know, really are vitriolically against President Trump, which I would really consider to be, you know, interference in the American election.
And the Google CEO did testify under oath that Google's algorithms are politically unbiased. Was he lying?
I mean, lying is a strong word. I definitely don't think it's true. I think what they do is somehow put an extreme bias on certain sites. Like, for example, CNN is the most commonly used source in Google News.
Mm-hmm.
20% of all searches for Donald Trump, all results for Donald Trump are from CNN. And when that's the entire internet of millions of sites, you know, CNN is something that Donald Trump and a lot of his supporters, I think, would call very fake news. So one has to wonder how it really got to be that way.
Coppola says he saw all this coming to pass during the 2016 presidential election.
Well, I started in 2014. 2014 was an amazing time to be at Google. We didn't talk about politics. No one talked about politics. You know, it was just a chance to work with the best computer scientists in the world, the best facilities, the best computers, and free food. I think as the election started to ramp up, the angle that the Democrats and the media took was that anyone who liked Donald Trump was a racist, even a Nazi. And that got picked up everywhere. I mean, every tech company, everybody in New York, everybody in the field of computer science basically believed that. A small number of people do work on making sure that certain news sites are promoted. And in fact, I think it would only take a couple out of an organization of 100,000, you know, to make sure that the product is a certain way. Yeah, but actually, for, on a day-to-day basis, I think probably a lot of people know that I like Donald Trump and they don't really care.